Today on The Journey.
Prayer is simply talking to God. You see, you can cut the formulas. You don't have to be intimidated. Prayer is simply talking to the Father, having a conversation with your Father.
Like the stony faces on Mount Rushmore, we sometimes feel as if our prayer life looms over us with an accusing stare. And too often, we bow our heads in guilty confession. Well, today, Ron Moore begins a three-part look at prayer with a goal of summiting its peak and leaving the guilt behind. Also, we want to send you a copy of Ron's downloadable booklet, The Greatest Text Message. It contains short meditations that direct your thoughts to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Greatest Text Message is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with part one of the message, The Great Adventure of Prayer, on the Journey.
When Jesus begins this instruction on prayer, he begins with these four words in chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray. It's not if you pray. It's not you should be praying. It's when you pray, because Jesus knows the human condition, and he knows that sooner or later, everyone prays. Sooner or later, in everyone's life, there are situations, there are experiences, there are difficulties that drive us to our knees, and they cause us to pray. Some people pray as a pattern of their life. They pray as they breathe. It is natural communication with the one they love. Some people pray sporadically. Others pray only when they're in trouble. But Jesus knows that everyone prays when you pray. When you pray. Sometimes the attempts are sporadic. Sometimes the attempts may leave us feeling like there was more we should have done or said. And sometimes the attempts are just sad and meaningless as people try to engage with God. How many of you have heard of the movie Bruce Almighty? In the movie, God addresses this man who is a television reporter. His life is kind of going south and he's kind of down and out, and he keeps complaining to God, and finally God says, okay, you be God for a day and you see what it's like. It was very interesting. In the movie, God pages this character. And normally, on television or a movie, when they show a number, there's a false area code, 555. And in this case, in the movie, there wasn't. There was a seven-digit number. And according to the Chicago Tribune, people have been calling that number. One woman told the answering machine at Colorado Network, I'm in jail right now. Like I said to you last night, I love you. And she promised to go straight and prayed to be able to return to her children and her husband. Another recorded message said, hey God, I've done some really bad things. I need to repent. So please answer my prayers. Another caller said, I know this isn't the number for God, but I'm calling to see if you have the real number. In Westchester, New York, Bobby Guido's secretary came into his office in tears after a woman called asking for God and said her husband was dying and asked for help. Telephone number from a movie? Sometimes people approach God in very simple, in ignorant ways. But Jesus knows that sooner or later, everyone prays. Natural as breathing for some, as foreign as calling on the phone for others. But everyone prays. As we begin looking at this issue of prayer, let's make certain we know what it means to pray. Some of you come from backgrounds, and you would say in your life and growing up, prayer is kind of following a certain formula. You used a book to pray, a prayer book, or beads to pray. You used some helps to pray, and you continue to pray the same words, and for you that is prayer. Others would say prayer is a certain posture. You use kneelers to pray, or when you prayed, always on your knees. And so when you think of prayer, there's a certain posture that goes with that. Others might think of a certain presentation. Your experience includes a person or people who pray in a certain way, and that is what you think of when you think of prayer. When I first came to the chapel back in 1989, every Sunday evening we had a service. And during that service, individuals would get up, and they would either give out a hymn or they would pray. And I remember when I first came, there were men in the congregation who could pray. And when they sat down, you just said, my goodness, wow, that was tremendous. And I remember when I first came, there were about 250 people. And these certain men prayed. And then after a while, there were 450 people, and these same men were praying. So I went to guys my own age, and I said, on Sunday nights, why aren't you standing up and praying? Are you kidding me? Praying after those guys? And I said, but I pray. And they said, we know. We see the contrast between them praying and you praying. And we don't want to do that. You may be intimidated by prayer, because there are individuals who can just pray down heaven. But let's start with this definition. It's nothing profound. Prayer is simply talking to God. You see, you can cut the codes. You can cut the formulas. You don't have to be intimidated. Prayer is simply talking to the Father, having a conversation with your Father. We're going to talk more about that aspect of having a conversation with your Father. But for now, just think of the intimacy, how comfortable it was for most of us to go talk to our Father. Someone we knew cared about us. Someone we knew was providing for us as we grew up. Someone we loved, and we knew that love was returned. Just conversing with your Father. I think one of the greatest descriptions of prayer was written by a 17th century Frenchman who's a Roman Catholic named Francis Fenelon. And listen to what he says as he describes what prayer is. He says, tell God all that is on your heart. As one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend, tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your joys, that he may sober them. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Tell him your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your heart, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride disguises you to yourself and others. If you thus pour out your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You'll never exhaust the subject. It will continually be renewed. People who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. You don't have to weigh your words, for there is nothing to be held back. Neither do they seek for something to say. They talk out of the abundance of the heart. Without consideration, they say what they think. Blessed are those who attain to such familiar, unreserved conversation with God. That's what prayer is about, isn't it? It's not about codes. It's not about formula. It's not about the Christian cliches that we slip back into. It's simply talking to God. Now, as Jesus begins to teach about prayer in this Sermon on the Mount, He begins by dealing with the most important aspect of prayer, which is not our words. It's not what comes out of our mouth. The most important aspect of prayer is the attitude of our heart. And so that's what Jesus deals with as He begins to teach us how to pray. The first thing He says is this: pray with humility. Look at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men, I tell you the truth, they have already received their reward in full. There are some, Jesus says, who like to put on a prayer show. In Jesus' day, they went to public places and they prayed elegant prayers so that people could see them and so that people could see how godly they were. The issue was not God at all. The issue was them. Jesus described these people as hypocrites, play actors, pretenders, wanting others to think they were someone or something they were not. They loved to pray in the synagogues to impress people. And when they wanted a larger audience, they would go to the street corners and they would pray there. In the time of Jesus, prayer had become a means of impressing others, to demonstrate to others how godly you were. And Jesus said, that should never be the attitude of prayer. Pride and prayer don't mix. We're to pray with humility. We're to come before God realizing we are a sinner in the presence of the Holy God. We're to come to God with all our impurities, with our evil thoughts, with our selfishness, with our confused motives. We're to stand in the presence of the one who accepts us just as we are. Unconditional love, who knows us better than we know ourselves, the very one who sent His Son to die on our behalf. How can we come before God with anything but humility? Now I'm going to take a wild guess and say that probably is not a temptation for most of us to stand on a street corner and impress others with how we're praying. But sometimes as Christians, we say things to impress others about our prayer time. You see, pride and prayer just don't mix. And when you talk about pride, it doesn't mix when we come into the presence of God. We don't come in with our demands. We don't come in with our agenda. We don't come in with our list of wants. We don't come in with our list of telling God, you do this and you do that. Jesus, I believe, is telling us very broadly, pray with humility. Come into the presence of God, realizing who you are, a sinner, only there because God loved you so much that He sent His Son, only there that He loved you so much He drew you to Himself, only there so that you can have an intimate conversation with the Father. You can speak to Him, and He can speak to you. Pride and prayer, Jesus says, it just doesn't mix. Look at verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now here, Jesus is contrasting the people who stand on the street corner, the way you shouldn't pray, with the way you should pray. Go into your room, not as a public display, but just something between you and God. Go into your room, get away from the distractions, and have a conversation with God. I believe Jesus is saying again, in a broad application, pray with focus. We should go to a place or be at a place where there are no distractions. Maybe it's a room. Maybe it's a closet, as some translations say. Maybe it's just an area of your home. It's a time of the day when there are no distractions. But again, I believe there's a broader principle here. Anytime we pray, which should not just be in the morning or in the evening or in that closet time, anytime we should pray with focus. Now I have to ask you a question. Are you ever praying and all of a sudden you realize that for the last however long, you've not even been praying at all. You've been thinking about something on your day. Don't look at me like I'm the only one. How do we keep our focus in prayer? Let me just give you a couple suggestions of things I've done. One is sometimes I write out my prayer. When I get to a point in time where I'm just thinking, I'm not focusing here, I have a spiral notebook in my desk drawer and I pull it out and I just start writing out my prayer. If I do that over and over again, it kind of becomes a little wooden for me, so I don't do it all the time. But when I'm losing focus, writing out helps me put some words on paper and focus on what I want to say to God and what I want to ask Him and what I want to tell Him. And then I can take some time to hear back from Him. Put those things down. Again, just something to help us focus as we pray. You see, God is not interested in our prayer by code. He's not interested in our prideful presentations. He's not interested in us to come and get on our knees and then daydream for the next 5 minutes. He wants us to focus on Him, the one who loves us more than we love ourselves. Jesus said, the attitude of prayer is focus. Thirdly, pray with sincerity. Look at verse 7. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. John Bunyan said, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Jesus said, don't keep on babbling like pagans. Meaningless repetition. Christian cliches. Pray with sincerity. What do you want to tell God? What are you struggling with? Where are some successes in life that you want to thank God for? And again, as Fenelon says, keep you somber in your joys so pride doesn't set in. Praying with sincerity. One more thing. Praying with confidence. Look at verse 8. The pagans keep babbling on, but you don't pray like them. For your Father knows what you need before you even ask. As we've gone through the series of worship, we've talked about the sovereignty of God. God who knows everything there is to know about everything there is to know. The all-powerful God who can pull it off, who can do what He needs to do. The God who loves us, who acts in love in everything He does. We can pray with confidence because we go to the one who knows everything we need before we ask it. If you have your Bibles, just look at verse 8 and try to absorb that verse. God knows everything I need even before I ask it. I'm not surprising Him by my request. I don't have to convince Him. I don't have to cajole Him. I don't have to use some formula, because if I use that formula, then God will really bless me. It's sincerity, humility, and the God who knows what we need before we know it, giving us what we need to make us into the man or woman He wants us to be. So be careful. Anytime someone says, here you go, this is how you pray, follow this formula. This is our heart communicating with the heart of God, not a formula in a book. You say, well, Ron, that's great for you, but you see, you don't understand. How can I pray with confidence? Because, see, my job is on the line right now, and when I go back to work on Monday morning, I don't even know if it's going to still be there. My marriage is on the rocks, and that is consuming me right now. And if God knows what I need, why isn't He doing something about that? My health is suffering. I'm feeling despondent and even in despair. You may be going through a terribly difficult time. But let me tell you this. Wherever you are and whatever you're going through, you can stand before God with confidence. Because He knows you best. And He knows exactly what you need. And you can give Him all your troubles and all your cares and all your pain and all your heartache. He knows what you need, and He'll respond to you in your need. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Paul says it like this in Ephesians chapter 3, in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. 1 John chapter 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God that if we ask anything according to His will, He knows what we need. He hears us. Prayer is simply talking to God in humility, in focus, in sincerity, in confidence. Now, one thing before we close. You'll notice in our passage we read today, the word Father. Jesus spoke the word Father 6 times. You can't pray unless you know God as your Father. The only way you can have a relationship with the Heavenly Father and call Him Father and He call you His child is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. And so I'm going to ask you today, have you trusted in Christ? Not because of anything you've done, but because you've trusted in Jesus alone as the only way you can have a relationship with God. In one of his books, Max Lucado tells a story of an old man who was sick and dying. And a priest came to visit this old man, and he noticed that there was an empty chair beside this man's bed. And so he asked the old man, "Have you had a visitor here lately?" And the old man said, "No." He said, "You see, Jesus is my friend, and I've been here in this bed, and I'm sick, and I just pull up a chair, and I invite him to sit down, and we talk." And a few days later, the priest was in the town, and he ran into the daughter of this old man, and he inquired about the health of her father, and the daughter said that her father had died. She went in to visit him, she said, and she went into his room, and she thought he was asleep. And then she left the room. When she came back into the room, he was dead. But she said, "You know, there was a strange thing. His head was not on the pillow as when I left, but on the chair beside his bed." Do you have that intimacy with the Heavenly Father? To pull up a chair, invite him to sit down, and talk with him, friend with friend, Savior, Lord, and you, His treasured child.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a special offer. Have you ever had an Emmaus Road experience? A moment when the Scriptures blazed with new understanding and you knew God had spoken to your soul? And now, looking back, you can exclaim along with the Emmaus disciples, "Were not our hearts burning within us while He was speaking to us on the road?" Well, Ron Moore wants you to look forward to such moments in the days ahead. He takes you to that place in his PDF devotional, The Greatest Text Message. There, in bite-sized meditations, Ron lays a solid foundation for the authority of the Bible. You'll discover the men God used to communicate His Word, the supernatural preservation of the Scriptures down through the centuries, and a new call to embrace its living truth. A downloadable copy of The Greatest Text Message is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Ron to talk about a special offer for your church.
Hey, I want to thank you so much for listening to The Journey. I pray these messages have been encouraging to you. And I just want to share with you, here at The Journey Ministry, we want to do more than simply provide podcasts and broadcasts to our listeners. Our desire is to walk alongside churches and encourage pastors and church leaders. We would love to help you with resources like sermons or discipleship material. And we'd like to encourage you as you lead your church. I've had the privilege of leading the Bible Chapel for 30 years, and I can tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I'd love to encourage you and I'd love to pray with you as we work together in this greater Pittsburgh area. So send me an email at ronmoore@ronmoore.org, ronmoore@ronmoore.org, and let's just talk, because we believe no leader should have to lead alone.
Again, that address is ron@ronmoore.org. Also, remember to drop by our website and get your copy of Ron's PDF devotional titled The Greatest Text Message. Moments spent in its pages will set your heart ablaze with the truth of God's Word. The Greatest Text Message is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. ronmoore.org. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our online worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org. biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.